Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This is Michaela Ludwig. Real briefly, Navarre Beach lifeguards have competing at the national level now for about 4 years. Each guard must volunteer as a junior lifeguard instructor, organize multiple fundraising events, and additional physical training multiple times a week if they want to compete at the national level.
I believe this is Navarre Beach Safety Chief Austin Turnbull. This was at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting last week, and this is such a cool story. I think maybe Lisa Newell had talked with us about this from the Gulf Breeze News. So this is not the—I don't think this is the first time we're covering it. But it was—I don't know—it was so interesting to me to hear him talk about her, about Michaela Ludwig, and to hear from her and to see her honored at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting as, well, you know, a pretty cool story, honestly.
Michaela started her swimming career with a local swim club teams or with local swim club teams before she started making a name for herself at Gulf Breeze High School, collecting two top five finishes at the state meet. She went on to the University of Maryland, Baltimore, where she placed second at conference in the 1650 freestyle. With one more year of eligibility due to COVID, she took her swimming career to another level, transferring to Rutgers University and graduating with her master's and a 4.0 GPA.
So from Gulf Breeze to Maryland Baltimore to Rutgers and competitions, and she's a lifeguard out on the beach.
2 years ago, after her first lifeguard nationals in California, Michaela put me on notice that she was going to win a national title. We set some goals. She stayed committed to her goals over the last 2 years, and this year, I'm proud to say that Michaela Ludwig is a national champion.
From Gulf Breeze. Right? That's pretty great. And not just the one national championship, but all kinds of awards at the national competition.
Michaela Ludwig is a national champion in the women's surf rescue race, accompanied by a mixed team with three other Palm Beach County female lifeguards. Michaela was the rescue swimmer, beating everyone out to the buoy, where she secured her victim and raced back to the beach, where two other guards would pick up the victim and carry her across the finish line to win a national title. Ludwig had other notable individual achievements, placing fourth in the women's run, swim, run, fifth in the surf race, in the surf open surf swim, and 16th in the board race, which was a huge accomplishment for her because that was one of her weaknesses. So very proud of you for that.
I love that, you know, they're celebrating the thing, not that she won at, but the thing that she showed the most improvement at, something that she struggled with. I mean, I think that's really, I love this guy, Austin Turnbull. I'm 90% sure that's who this was. It was introduced by somebody else, and then I think that's who that was speaking at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting.
We just want to take a minute to acknowledge her accomplishments, but more importantly, thank her for being an essential part of the culture, work ethic, and commitment to our community that has raised our organization to the level that you see today. Thank you.
And by the way, the best slice of this story is yet to come. Like, the fact that she won the national championships is really cool. Okay, don't get me wrong. That's really cool. But the best part is yet to come. They gave her a chance to talk. And you know how some people aren't really, like, they're just not the public talker. They're just, not because they can't, but just because it's, they don't prefer that, you know? Some people just don't. They're kind of humble, you know, I would say, as opposed to shy. Shy is like you're not good at public speaking. Humble is you just don't really feel like you should ever be doing it, you know, because who would want to listen to me talk, you know?
Thank you to Navarre Beach. I wouldn't be the person that I am today if not for Chief Austin and Chief Fury. I just appreciate them so much, and I appreciate you guys for letting me come out here today.
And it's great, but then almost trying to pry out of her the other part of the story that's really cool. Chief says,
what you're doing next? Yeah. Tell them where you're going next.
Oh, I'll be leaving in about 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. I'll be going to Marine Corps OCS, planning to be a pilot.
Of course she is. I mean, of course she is, right? And as we learned from our Marine the Marines who command local operations where they train Marines, we learned that you don't become a Marine pilot. What you become is a Marine. And then you also spend some time being a pilot, and then you're back to being a Marine. You know, so, but that's great. She wants to, you know, fly things for the Marines. That's wonderful. And also, I thought it was fascinating because Colton Wright, County Commissioner Colton Wright and the chairman, had kind of asked about the events and what they are. And it's actually kind of an interesting history of what people do in these competitions and why they do it. We'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
See, no accidents right now on the big board. Seeing just I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly, no congestions on that. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. 437-1620 if you want to weigh in. And there's a great story about a local swimmer lifeguard, Michaela Ludwig, who competed in college as a swimmer but also competed in the national lifeguard competition and, you know, won at least one national championship and did well in several other events. And she's going to officer candidate school to be a Marine, to fly for the Marines. And then I just thought it was kind of interesting to hear what they do in the competitions. Colton Wright was saying, hey, we should promote this more when we have these because people come from all over the world to compete in this thing, like from Australia even, to compete here in, you know, Santa Rosa County in Navarre. And but not just that, but like why they do certain of the rescue activities that they do, kind of honoring the tradition of lifeguarding.
What do you call the almost like a kayak style boat that they had? What was that called?
So surf ski. So a lot of our races are based off of historical lifeguarding. Was brought to the U.S. by Duke Connolly in a lifeguard racing swimming competition. So competition is integrated in ocean lifeguarding from the foundation. So kayaking, that's a surf ski kayak, so it's a longer, faster. But we also have dories, like rowboats, because in the 1900s, people couldn't swim. So they had to make rescues on dories. So we still race those, kind of a nostalgic landline. You know, 100 years ago, whenever people still couldn't swim, they used to tie the one rope to the one rescuer and swim out there and then pull them back. So it's kind of those fun races.
Yeah, what a cool, I mean, like the history of things. It might not be the way they do it now. But to think about the history of it. And I loved his mention. It's something I never thought of. He says, from a time back when people couldn't swim. You know, like, there was a time. I don't know much of the history here, but I'm imagining that, you know, the idea that everybody can swim has not always been the case. And it actually made me curious, and I don't know the answer to this. I didn't take the time to do the research. Pardon me for not coming better prepared. But I'm actually kind of curious now to know, what percentage of Americans swim now or know how to swim versus, say, in 1970 versus, say, in 1940 versus, say, in 1880, if we even have a rough guess about that? Because, you know, I think of swimming as I know not everybody knows how to swim. I mean, I'm not a fool, but at least not about that. And yet, to me, swimming is kind of like a basic, like everybody should know how to, like, obviously we train our boys how to swim because that's what you do. You know, they're humans. They should swim. But not everybody can swim. And it's always weird to me when I meet somebody who can't swim because I'm like, but you know how to read and write, right? You know, it's kind of like it's in that cat. But, you know, some people are illiterate too. That also happens, sadly. So I think of it's got to be a number, I mean, close to 100%, but not 100%. But I wonder, you know, 100 years ago, was that number like 30%? People just didn't learn how to swim. I don't know. 618 on News Radio 92.3. Anyway, congratulations, Michaela Ludwig. Really cool story. I love to hear about somebody locally who, you know, thrives and works hard and has a dream and is going to become a Marine and, you know, just all of it. It's a really neat story. That's why I wanted to share it with you. 618 here on News Radio 92.3. If you are considering selling your home, considering buying a home. Sometimes people do both. Maybe you want to pick up a rental home. Maybe you want to pick up something to convert to an Airbnb. I don't know. Everybody's got different life goals, and you've been trying to figure out, well, when's the time, right? With the change in interest rates, change in market, you know, what are people doing these days? What's going to happen in the economy? What are rents doing? You know, at one time we had skyrocketing rents, and so it was real easy to buy a home and then flip it for a rental and make some money on it. Is that true today? You know, what about competition? What's going on in the marketplace? Like, all good questions, okay? The right questions. But I don't have the answer for you. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, they do. Because that's all they do is think about real estate all the time. And she is self-described as a real estate nerd. Like, she loves to think about it and research and learn things and even expanding their capabilities. For example, a couple of years ago, I guess somebody had come to her and, you know, they were going through a divorce, kind of an unpleasant situation. But, you know, divorcing people need to sell a home. And it's complex because divorcing people don't always get along real well. How do you represent a buyer that's actually two people who don't like each other much right now? You know, how do you do that? Well, she's like, we'll do it and we'll learn. And then she went and got some certifications and really learned how to do that effectively. And, like, you know, estate sales, like, there's all kinds of odd, unpleasant maybe circumstances that necessitate a home sale. And they're willing to figure out how to do that effectively. Just kind of part of their dedication to excellence as realtors. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hurricane season is here. Don't wait until your Generac generator is needed to make sure it's in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today and schedule maintenance on your generator. Their Generac certified technicians will make sure your generator is ready when needed. Need a new unit or a replacement? Remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you never spend a dime until your generator is on your property. White Sands Electric, a full-service electrical contractor. Call 850-433-6080 for all your electrical and generator needs. White Sands Electric.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
One Blood, a national blood donation center, recently experienced a cyber attack that has now affected hospitals across our state. Today, we're calling on all Floridians to consider donating blood to help ensure a strong and healthy blood supply for Florida. The state of Florida is partnering with Life South, Suncoast, and other local blood centers. To find a blood donation center, visit floridadonates.com. This message is sponsored by the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
I have you not. What?
Yahoo!
Look out.
Love that meme you see on social media that says, they tell me that you can't hear a pic, and then it's got a picture of a TIE fighter screaming through the tunnel or the canyon in the Death Star, and you're like, oh, you can't actually hear a picture. 623 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good morning. Hi there. I see you. I mean, I don't, but you get what I mean. Are you having fun driving into work today? You having fun in the home? Taking a shower, eating the food, whatever. Listen at your desk. I mean, maybe you're an early worker like we are. I don't know. But I appreciate you listening. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Vision this week.
Well, we'll be back to David in just a minute. He is editing at the moment. And he's... Andrew, I cannot predict when you're going to come to me. Fair?
Yeah, you know, this train was never on time, and suddenly here it comes, rolling down the tracks right on time every day.
It's so weird. I understand. What's going on in the newsroom, sir?
Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg yesterday admitting to the House Judiciary Committee that Facebook was pressured to censor Americans regarding COVID-19 content and block coverage of the Hunter Biden laptop. Zuckerberg wrote a letter to committee representative Jim Jordan. He said he regrets complying with some of those demands and said the company has now put policies in place to prevent future censorship.
It's a huge story.
It really is.
When you get, I'll actually read some from the letter in just a second because I talked about it briefly yesterday, but this is such a huge story.
Everybody kind of knew it was happening, but there was no confirmation.
To have
of
official
it, yeah.
admission, absolutely. What else you got?
A children's book author who's been accused of murdering her husband will stand trial. A Utah judge making a ruling yesterday after finding probable cause in the case of Corey Richens. Prosecutors claim that she poisoned her husband by lacing his drink with fentanyl in March of 2022. That trial will begin in April. And if you're looking at going to the Rose Bowl, tickets go on sale this morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time. That football game will be held on New Year's Day. Always a big deal there.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Told you I'd read you a little bit from this letter that Mark Zuckerberg sent to Jim Jordan of the Judiciary Committee. In just a second, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling between Jordan and Cervantes on Palafox, you're going to see major congestion in that area, so both north and south direction. So just be prepared for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know how it is when you go to buy a used car. Your goal is to get out of there with your skin. Or it can feel that way. Like you just, please, Lord, let me not get taken advantage of. I understand. You know, I bought used cars from places that felt like that. Frontier knows that it can feel like that. And that's why they do things differently. You know, for example, all the cars are just open on the lot. So you can go sit in any of them. No problem. You don't have to ask. You know the whole like, God, stay away from me. I just want to look. Well, yeah, you can browse at your own leisure. Now, you may have to talk to somebody to actually drive a car, but of course, that's kind of normal. But they understand that. The prices are good. The cars are in great shape. They're low miles, good quality, almost new cars, you know, 1, 2, 3 years young with, you know, 10 or 20 or 30,000 miles on them, something like that. The kind of car that you're going to buy and then drive for another 8 or 10 years. Like, that's how we do. Dave Ramsey recommends, same kind of thing. But they just try to make it easy. They give you all the information and then out the door price. When you look at a price sheet, it's got a Carfax attached to it, so you can know the vehicle maintenance history of the car to the degree it's been reported. I mean, you know, just easy information. And I know for us, we basically inadvertently bought a car because we were just going to test drive it, and it was just, it was the right price. It was exactly the car we wanted, even though we didn't want it quite yet. But we're like, we can't turn this down. It's such a good deal. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. So Mark Zuckerberg writes a letter to Chairman Jim Jordan of the House Judiciary Committee. The preface doesn't really matter, but I'm gonna read to you the bulk of, like, the body of the letter. There's a lot of talk right now about how the U.S. government interacts with companies like Meta. That's Facebook and Instagram parent company. Like Meta, and I want to be clear about our position. Our platforms are for everyone. We're about promoting speech and helping people connect in a safe and secure way. As part of this, we regularly hear from governments around the world and others with various concerns around public discourse and public safety. In 2021, senior officials from the Biden administration, including the White House, repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, and expressed a lot of frustration with our teams when we didn't agree. Ultimately, it was our decision whether or not to take content down. And we own our decisions, including COVID-19-related changes we made to our enforcement in the wake of this pressure. I believe the government pressure was wrong, and I regret that we were not more outspoken about it. I also think we made some choices that, with the benefit of hindsight and new information, we wouldn't make today. Like I said to our teams at the time, I feel strongly that we should not compromise our content standards due to pressure from any administration in either direction, and we're ready to push back if something like this happens again. In other words, the government tried to censor. We complied. We were uncomfortable with it. We didn't do enough to fight back, and we will not comply again in the future, or at least not quite in the same way. Remember, information during COVID was a big deal. In a separate situation, he continues, the FBI warned us about a potential Russian disinformation operation about the Biden family and Burisma in the lead-up to the 2020 election. That fall, when we saw a New York Post story reporting on corruption allegations involving then-Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's family, we sent that story to fact-checkers for review and temporarily demoted it, used the algorithm to make it less popular, while waiting for a reply. It's since been made clear that the reporting was not Russian disinformation, and in retrospect, we shouldn't have demoted the story. We've changed our policies and processes to make sure this doesn't happen again. For instance, we no longer temporarily demote things in the U.S. while waiting for fact-checkers. But that could have changed the outcome of the election. It's pretty tight, you may recall. Right? 3. Apart from content moderation, I want to address the contributions I made during the last presidential cycle to support electoral infrastructure. Zuckerbucks. The idea here was to make sure local election jurisdictions across the country had the resources they needed to help people vote safely during a global pandemic. I made those contributions through the Chan Zuckerberg, that's his wife, initiative. They were designed to be nonpartisan, spread across urban, rural, and suburban communities. Still, despite the analyses I've been showing otherwise, I know that some people believe this work benefited one party over the other. My goal is to be neutral and not play a role one way or the other, or to even appear to be playing a role, so I don't plan on making a similar contribution this cycle. This is a very interesting series of admissions, partially because it's all the things we already knew. But to say it out loud in an election cycle, of course, after Biden's dropped out about the Biden administration, but Kamala Harris is now trying to own everything from the Biden administration other than opposition to the wall, which she's now apparently in favor of suddenly. But man, you know, it's amazing how many people said all of these things at the time, and it affected an election, it affected a pandemic, and now, years later, well, we're better heading up to this election. Will you be? And how will we know?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Federal election interference charges are refiled against former President Trump, with special counsel Jack Smith removing allegations that could be interpreted as official acts subject to presidential immunity.
Mr. Smith presented the case to a second grand jury, which had not previously heard the matter. Again, this all stems from the DOJ's insistence that the former president took what it believes were unlawful actions in his effort seeking to dispute the 2020 election.
Fox's Kevin Cork. At least 9 Palestinian militants are reported killed in an Israeli military operation in the West Bank.
Palestinian officials report the volatile city of Jenin has been sealed off, with troops blocking entry and exit points. They report Israeli forces ripping up infrastructure at the city's refugee camp, a notorious militant stronghold.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm David Wayne. It is sunshine this morning, 79 degrees right now in Pensacola. A Pensacola man facing charges for allegedly threatening victims with a machete, jumping through a window to escape, and then attempting to run from deputies. All of this following some type of custody dispute. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says 39-year-old Roderick Lewis faces multiple charges in this case. The victims say Lewis threatened them with a machete on Sunday, then fled the scene. He was later found at his girlfriend's home, where he reportedly jumped through a window to escape. The next day, Lewis and his girlfriend, 41-year-old Crystal Sorrell, were found driving on Michigan Avenue. Deputies say they tried to stop the vehicle they were in, but the driver, Sorrell, led them on a high-speed chase that ended with a pit maneuver. They say then Lewis got out of the vehicle, tried to run on foot before eventually being caught in a backyard. Lewis is charged with aggravated battery, resisting an officer, and possession of marijuana. Crystal Sorrell is charged with fleeing and eluding in that case. The former Okaloosa County deputy charged with manslaughter for killing Roger Fortson has been denied bond. 38-year-old Eddie Duran remains in jail in Okaloosa County. If he were convicted as charged, he could face up to 30 years in prison. The state attorney's office announcing this week that Duran is being charged with manslaughter in the case. He's due back in court this coming Thursday. The Florida law that bans minors from being prescribed puberty blockers and hormone treatments is being enforced again. This after a federal appeals court decision this week.
What we've said in Florida is we are going to remain a refuge of sanity and a citadel of normalcy.
Governor Ron DeSantis there. And he's applauding the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that blocks the lower court order against the ban as that case is appealed. The law also bans transgender surgery for minors and requires transgender adults to receive their treatment only from a doctor. Well, a lot of people expected to hit the road for Labor Day weekend.
AAA reports that domestic travel during the last holiday weekend of the summer could jump as much as 9% compared to last year. The organization says some families may choose to travel to closer destinations due to time constraints. Some of the top U.S. destinations for Labor Day, according to AAA, include Anaheim, California, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, and Orlando. State and national parks are also expected to be popular spots for people to bid farewell to summer. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. And Senator Rick Scott looking for more information on erroneous job report data. Scott and others yesterday sending a letter to Acting Labor Secretary Julie Sue. That letter in response to a report that revised the number of jobs created from March 2023 and 2024. It lowered that number by 800,000. Scott and his colleagues say the misleading numbers create a false impression for the public and also cast doubt on the validity of the data. They're asking for a response to their letter by September 9th. It is 6:35 now, News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
It's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about right now, but again, if you're on Palafox between Jordan and Cervantes, you're going to see both in north-south directions. We're still seeing some heavy volume there, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have some spotty rain chances as we head into the afternoon today. 40% chance of rain overall, high near 90 degrees, feeling much warmer. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Thursday, another chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms, 40% chance of rain in the afternoon, high near 93. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 79 degrees in Pensacola, 78 degrees in Gulf Breeze, and 75 in Milton. And now a look at our market report for this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of China's largest bottled water producer, Nongfu Spring, slumped 12% after the company reported a sharp slowdown in profit growth in the first half of the year. The company's net income grew 8% year over year to $876 million during the first 6 months. This compares to just over 23% growth in the first half of 2023. The company said increased competition and an online backlash affected sales. Shares of Nongfu Spring have declined over 41% this year. Shares of Chinese online retailer JD.com climbed just over 2.2% after the firm announced a $5 billion buyback program. The announcement is JD.com's second buyback this year after announcing a $3 billion buyback in March. Both JD.com shares have dropped about 20% year to date. Futures are slightly higher ahead of NVIDIA's quarterly earnings report later this morning. That's Your Money Now.
And at 6:36, our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hey, checking in?
This is not just your flu shot appointment at Walgreens.
Yes.
This is getting your entire family vaccinated in one trip.
Hey, Mom.
And a snack on the way out. Get flu shots for everyone in your family, together. Schedule appointments online today. This is wellness made easy. Walgreens.
Vaccine subject to availability and for ages 3+. State and health-related restrictions may apply.
Hi, neighbors. This is Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Thank you for having faith in me and showing your support during this primary election. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships to ensure that we have a professional and productive board. Let's move forward. The future is bright for Santa Rosa County.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Makes me happy every time we play it. 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Bruce Woody is the Executive Director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA, as it is more affectionately known. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Good to have you on. So yesterday you had a meeting, as we always try to do a little recap with you after we, you know, have a meeting for the for the ECUA board. One thing, by the way, just worth noting is your board composition will not change in November because am I right that all three of the board members either were unopposed or won their primary elections without opposition in November? Is that right?
That is true. The ECUA board districts are the same as the county, so we had districts 1, 3, and 5 that were up for election, and the incumbents of Vicki Campbell in District 1, Larry Williams in District 3, and Kevin Stevens in District 5 all retained their seats.
Very good. So easy for you. Transition is no transition, right? That's always
yes. That is helpful for staff and administration. That's true.
Simplest of all possible things.
We have a wonderful board. They do an exceptional job. They represent customers well, and they interact and provide good leadership and direction to staff. We're happy to work with them.
A couple of things that I want to get to with you. One is, I guess, your Reclaim Plant Managers won an award. Is that right? Or won some awards?
Yes. We're extremely pleased to say that our plant managers at our three wastewater water reclamation facilities received awards from the National Association of Clean Water Agencies. These are called Excellent. Peak Performance Awards. And are given across the United States only to those folks who have 5 or less excursions over a calendar year for their permits. What that represents for us here locally, we have 12,825 compliance points that those three plants have to meet over the course of a year. Out of all those, we only had 6 points that we didn't meet 100%. So we have a 99.95% compliance.
Sounds impressive to me.
That's even better. Yeah, that's as good or better performance than you get out of other utilities in terms of uptime on electrical energy or gas supply or things like that. So we're very,
talking,
very proud of
it. And this would be like the big plant in Cantonment and the Bayou Marcus. Am I thinking about the right places that this would apply to?
Yep. Those are two. The other one's the one at Pensacola Beach.
Oh, okay. Right. I wasn't thinking about that one. No, I appreciate that. So, wow. Congratulations. Yeah. Well done. You guys have an online pay system that you're kind of wanting people to transition to if they're willing. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Some people may already be familiar with an online pay system we used to have called Kubra. We've transitioned to a new bill pay system that's powered by InfoSend. This new system allows customers to make payments quickly and easily from any device that has internet access, whether it's a computer, a mobile phone, a tablet. Some of the key new features of the new pay system, it has a much more user-friendly, intuitive interface, so even first-time navigators can easily navigate the program, platform. Secure transactions, it has advanced encryption and security measures. It has flexible pay options. You can now choose to pay by credit card, direct bank transfer, one-time or even recurring payments. You can also make multiple payments for those customers, perhaps, that own multiple properties.
Oh,
you're
okay.
A landlord and you have multiple properties. You can make those all rolled into a single account and pay them all at the same time. We just have a prior limitation of $500 per payment. That has gone away. So customers with larger bills can pay in a single payment. We have real-time confirmation in terms of providing records that come back to you upon payment. You can access it 24/7. And a feature that I really like, lastly, is customer-initiated text messaging. If you want to set up a text message that comes to yourself that reminds you that when a bill is due or when it's past due, you can set those up on the platform. It will automatically send reminders to you.
Can people text you to do the bulk pickup? Is that something you have the capability for, or do they need to call?
Right now, you need to call, although, boy, you're intuitive. You are just a little bit ahead of us. We're probably about 30 days out from,
okay.
from announcing that our Recycle Coach app that goes on your phone will be adding that feature.
Great.
Technically, it's in beta right now. If you were to go out to it, you can actually find it. It's a page where... if you have the app, it'll automatically know what your address is and what your route schedule is. You put in a little bit of information about when you want something picked up and check a few boxes as to what type of material you have picked up. Hit send, and it automatically goes to our scheduler.
Because I will just tell you, as a radio host who has historically always taken phone calls, we get zero phone calls and a jillion texts. People like the text. It's a much easier system if they can text you to pick it up or if it's in the app, you know. Future news, right? 30 days out. We'll come back to just a second. We're talking to ECUA Executive Director Bruce Woody. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're heading from Milton into East Milton, you're going to see some minor delays there. Also, Highway 90 right around P Ridge is seeing some delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Now, I'll tell you, John Pickens is ruining life right now because he does not live in ECUA's territory. He lives in Milton. But he would absolutely download and operate the beta because he loves doing that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
hey, quick question. Bruce Woody, ECUA Executive Director. Is there a fee for online pay, or is it the same price as if you pay through other mechanisms?
Essentially the same kind of pay as before. If you use ACH, it's less expensive, 35 cents. If you use a credit card, then there is a 2.9% fee for that.
Okay, so there's a transaction fee for credit card, a slightly less transaction fee for a bank debit. Okay, very good. You guys are doing a couple of construction projects, Inner Rarity Point, Pensacola Beach, and the Michigan Avenue one that a lot of people see and worry about that interfering with, which is not your project. It's an FDOT project, but you guys are doing some things in, you know, same time as they're doing it, because if the road's torn up, you can do your stuff, right?
Yes. We have projects all over town, but three higher profile ones include Inner Rarity Point Road. We'll soon have the first of a two-phase project to add a parallel water line. We have, because of the development that's occurred there over the years, pressure has become an issue on occasion in some points of the day, so we're improving that line. We're starting on the west end. Last night's board, we just approved the purchase of the pipe for that project, and that project will be bid here soon and will be a construction project over the course of the next year. Pensacola Beach, you may remember that we've been adding a reclaimed water line. That is a water line we use for irrigation right now along the medians on Vindaluna. We're going to extend that and provide opportunities for the hotels and other properties to tap that to use for irrigation. And that's water that comes from our treated effluent. When that project gets completed over several more phases in a few more years, that will almost, not quite, but almost eliminate our discharges to the Sound because we'll be using it for irrigation. So it's a wonderful project. And then lastly, Michigan Avenue. FDOT is doing a large project on Michigan Avenue on either side of Mobile Highway. And as a part of that, we're doing some water main relocation and using it as an opportunity to upgrade a main. That project has already started on the west end. They're doing that work at night in order to minimize impacts to traffic. It will continue through March of 2025.
Okay, so that intersection, they can expect at least sometimes lane restrictions because of the work being done by you guys and FDOT for about the next 7 or 8 months. Okay, very good. Hey, I wanted to ask you, we're talking to Bruce Woody, executive director at ECUA. Nathan Boyles, who is one of the owners, operators of Adams Sanitation out of Okaloosa County, but they do a lot of work in Santa Rosa County as well. He was at the Milton City Council meeting last week, and he made an announcement, something that surprised me. He said that, I think it was Waste Management is construct. It might not have been Waste Management, but I think it was, that they're building a pretty significant recycling facility in Okaloosa County. The recycling market, he said, has changed. Some of the ways that they are doing recycling in this facility, which will be operational maybe in 30 days, 60 days, something like that, is a little bit more advanced and can capitalize on some of the market changes. How, first of all, is recycling gotten better? He seemed to indicate that it has gotten better, but also, how is the availability of an alternative to what you guys are doing going to affect you guys?
Yeah. Waste Management has built a new facility, and I believe it just went online last week.
Oh, okay.
One of our outside customers is Okaloosa County, and as you can imagine, they have switched over to this facility just because of the ability to save all the transportation charges.
Sure.
Costs a lot of money to haul it this far west. They've entered into a contract. I hope it'll work out okay for them. They're paying quite a bit more to take it to Waste Management than they were to take it over here. So we wish them some success. The market right now happens to be really up, which is favorable for anybody who's doing recycling at the moment. But it is a commodities market, so things go through cycles. And there's good years and bad years, and sometimes there's a little bit of both in the same year. So recycling generally doesn't pay for itself. It's an appropriate thing to do. You don't see many private vendors that are in that business as a result. Waste Management is largely because they're subsidized by the folks who use the service. In this case, Okaloosa County is essentially paying more for the service than what they're getting in revenue in order to help subsidize it.
Okay, so it's still not good enough that people are making money on it, but because people believe in the concept of recycling, they're willing to pay for it or be subsidized through government, which will pay for it or something like that. Okay, that's fairly good.
Absolutely, which is the way we continue to provide it.
Right.
It helps the community in general by keeping waste out of the landfill, and it gets products recycled and put back into the economy.
But it is doing better than it had been, really bad for a while, so it's good to hear that it's doing
really
better.
Yeah, cardboard is really up. Goodness, cardboard's almost $120 a ton now, and year and a half ago, it was only bringing $20 to $30 a ton.
Oh, good Lord.
That's how much the swing can be sometimes.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about has to do with PFAS, which I know you and I have talked about many times. The ongoing effort that ECUA is involved in, and extraordinarily expensive, I mean millions and millions of dollars, to make sure that you're working toward, in compliance with what the EPA has come out with, the standards that were just not that long ago announced, monitoring your wells, putting in these filters. They're very expensive. Then the replacement of the carbon is very expensive, is just all of it. But the thing I wanted to ask you about, because I know in Milton they've been talking a lot about the wastewater treatment plant for years now, and one of the things that they had a conversation about was the treatment standards for PFAS for effluent, treated water that can be used for irrigation, or even, I guess, for sewage. I'm not quite sure what's involved there. It's one thing to test drinking water, which we do, and we now have a standard for that. But I am assuming that you guys are also anticipating a future where there will have to be a standard for PFAS content for treated effluent, and that's going to be an expensive thing in order to filter, I assume, the effluent when it comes out of the treatment process. Am I thinking about this the right way?
Yes, right now there's a standard that's been in the news that everybody's been talking about for drinking water. That's 4 parts per trillion is the limit. That's almost unable to be detected. That is so difficult to.
In fact, that's where the standard is, right? It's at the, it's what you can detect is the standard, right?
Right. Exactly. But on the wastewater side, they're talking about, but haven't set any particular standards. If they do, the cost to implement additional treatment processes on the wastewater side will be another challenge. You hesitated a moment when you talked about sewage. I think what you were probably thinking about is a byproduct of the water reclamation process is called biosolids. It's essentially a sludge material that's taken out of the water. Mm-hmm. And right now we process it and use it either for fertilizer or we use it as an amendment in our composting program to create compost out of wood waste.
Right.
Or our current two uses. But if they put a standard on biosolids as well, and how you discharge with wastewater. Usually it's either applied in the ground or injected back in the ground. Those kinds of standards.
That makes sense.
My goodness,
if it's used as fertilizer.
Tremendous additional expense.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean.
And part of the way we would address that also would be to increase the standards for those folks who are discharging to us. So industrial contributions, their cost at their locations would go way up, which could affect businesses.
I gotcha.
Mainly industrial businesses. Probably the one that would affect the most would be our local county landfill. They are a pretty tremendous source of PFAS as well.
Oh, okay. And because the water runoff that you guys then treat for at your plant comes from them and carries a high level of PFAS because it comes off of their landfill. Is that right?
After the landfill facility.
Okay.
That's correct.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's future stuff, but it's still stuff you got to be thinking about now. And of course, cost, and how can we defray that or, you know, make other people pay for their contribution? That makes sense. Bruce Woody, the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority. Bruce, thank you so much for the information, as always, after we have a meeting of your board. And thanks for doing what you do to, you know, keep the water safe, take care of our trash and our recycling, and take care of our sewage, stuff that maybe nobody wants to think about, but it's pretty important when it doesn't get done right.
That's true. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
No accidents to report right now, but we're seeing some slowdown. If you're on I-10 eastbound heading toward the Highway 29 exit, you're going to see some delay, just a massive amount of traffic through that construction zone. Other than that, everything's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Welcome to the heart of farming season, brought to you by Parrish Tractor, formerly Coastal Machinery. Parrish is a family business with a heart for community, and through their products and services, they want people to feel connected to the land, to their work, and to one another. Parrish has everything from agricultural tools and resources to construction equipment, including rental solutions. With Kubota as their premier brand, they offer Kubota L-Series tractors, mowers, hay equipment, and more. Parrish Tractor, more than a tractor store. They're located on Mobile Highway in Pensacola and Ferdon Boulevard in Crestview.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
What's going on here? This road leads directly to the airport, Hannibal.
This road is nowhere near the airport.
Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, former President Trump is being charged again in the January 6th election interference case. This comes after the Supreme Court ruled that he was entitled to some immunity from criminal prosecution from official acts in office. The Department of Justice now said that the new indictment reflects the ruling and charges against Trump have been narrowed. So that all coming out yesterday, charges, I guess, being refiled against Trump?
To accommodate the instructions from the Supreme Court, or slightly more jaded view, to make sure that we can have him under indictment going into the election, which is kind of weird because typically, my understanding, the Department of Justice tries to avoid doing things close to elections for this
reason. Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The law banning minors from gender-affirming treatment is again being enforced in Florida. We'll have more on that after this update from Fox News, Local News 705.